Lord, we just thank you for being our God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us wherewithal to walk this holy walk. And you know, I like what Andrew Murray said. He said, you wrote the scriptures not for knowledge, but for conduct. And Father, I just know that that's what you did it for. And I thank you for it, Lord, that it is our book of conduct. We're not only hearers of the word, we're doers of the word as well. And Father, we thank you for teaching us that. And we ask that tonight, Lord, that you anoint everybody on here to speak when you want them to speak, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Give us all wisdom and discernment. And we thank you for answering our prayers too, Lord, because they're being answered. I can tell you they're being answered. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight it's going to be an awesome night with you. And that we'd forever, always keep you on our mind, even in our daily walk, Lord. And let us set aside time every day to get alone with you and get in your presence and to hear your word. You know, like, I forget the lady's name, Lana Balzer. Lord, she asked you, she said, Lord, what is it that's on your heart today? And Father, that's something that we all need to ask you, because you have the words of wisdom coming out. And Father, we thank you for all that's accomplished tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Anybody got a prayer request? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, this afternoon I got a text from a friend back home, and this gal that I used to work with was in the hospital, and the text was, wanted to know, we prayed for her husband about a year and a half ago, and he was having heart issues, and everything worked out real well for him. And she said, if you guys are still having your prayer meeting, she goes, we need you to pray for Jesus. She's in the hospital, and it doesn't sound real good. And she said, if you guys are still praying, would you pray for her? And I said, of course we would. And so I'd like you all to join me in praying for Judy. She went in with what she thought was appendicitis, and they cut her open and found out she had appendix and lymph nodes and part of that. So she went home after the surgery. They fixed, cut her and back together. Peter told she recovered from the surgery. So I guess she's back in the hospital now with more complications. So anyways, Heavenly Father, we lift up Judy to you, that you would remove the cancer from her, heal her from her. She's got faith. Give her the will and the wisdom to exercise the faith and treat that, or cure that cancer. Remove it from her. Put her back together. Get her whole. Get her home and healthy. And give her the strength and the faith that she needs to overcome this. Thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. You say she's a woman of faith?
Yeah, she is a woman of faith. She's not. I don't know if she's saved. I would say probably not. She is a believer. She knows the gift of the Spirit, and she believes in him. So, yeah, she's a sister in making.
Okay. All right. Well, you mind if I pray for her too?
I wish you would. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Judy to you. Lord, we thank you for this eye-opening experience that she's going through, Lord. You know, sometimes, Lord, that when we're at our weakest, and it looks like she's at her weakest, that we do open up our eyes to you and we start believing. And, Lord, I thank you for the authority that you've given all of us here, Lord. We all hook our faith up together tonight for Judy. Lord, And I thank you for the authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of cancer off of Judy. I command you to go right now from her. I command that spirit of the fear of cancer to go from her in the name of Jesus. And I command that spirit of death that's lingering around outside out there to get away from her too, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for opening Judy's eyes to the truth of the good gospel, the true gospel. And I praise you for it, Father. I praise you, Lord, that when she gets out of this, she's going to be a woman on fire for you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. And it's going to be a testimony to everybody around her, Lord, that she is a walking miracle. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for Judy right now, in Jesus' name. I can just see them blood cells, all of them multiplying right now and knocking that cancer out of there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Y'all believe that? Boy, I do. Amen. Yeah, we all believe it. We're going to see a miracle there. I speak it and decree it in the name of Jesus. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
When I got the text saying, you know, you guys still doing prayers, having prayer meetings, I said, yeah, we're still praying and we're still getting answers. So we'll
amen. Praise God. We are. We're getting big answers too. Not just little ones. We're getting big ones too. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Willie.
I usually don't like doing too many prayer requests, which is weird. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's weird.
But, yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
It's concerning my oldest daughter. There was no signs of eczema, no signs of any of that on her skin. You know, now this eczema has broken out all over her arms, you know, breaking out all over her legs, you know, on her body, you know. And she's one of the daughters of ours where she was vaccinated. And I do believe it came from those vaccinations. I have two other children that have not been vaccinated, you know. And I have a son that's been vaccinated. And I believe that, you know, those things mess with both of our children, you know. My daughter was younger, no signs of that stuff, you know, clear skin, you know, beautiful skin. And now all this crap breaking out on her skin, you know. And I've prayed about it. And so I guess that's just my prayer request that, you know, these, whatever this crap is and however it broke out on her skin, you know, because there's, I haven't met anybody in my family that has eczema. I don't know anybody on my father's side of the family that has eczema. You know, I don't know anybody in my family that has that. But yeah.
What's it called? What do you call it?
Eczema.
Oh, eczema. Okay. All right.
You know how it makes the skin really dry and cracked and scaly looking?
Yeah.
That crap.
I do. What's her name?
Talitha.
Talitha.
Kind of like saying Tabitha, but you change the B into an L. Talitha.
Oh, okay. Tabitha. Okay. Well, Lord, we lift her up to you right now. We thank you, Lord, that she ain't under the curse. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of eczema off of her. Any kind of skin disorder that's trying to make its way into her body, we command it to go right now. And we thank you, Father, that she has no worries about that skin problem anymore. We thank you, Lord, that you are healing what that enemy has left behind. And I command that spirit to go from her and all associated spirits to go with it too, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that Tabitha is healed by the stripes of Jesus by the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that she doesn't have to worry about it anymore, that she's going to just go around and say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. That's done deal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Michael, I'd like to pray for her.
Yes, go ahead, Missy.
Well, right away, I knew in the spiritual, I thought for sure that it's related to fear, anxiety, and stress.
Okay.
you know, sometimes you need to get to the root of the situation for there to be healing. Willie, has she been has she been disobedient in any way that you know of recently or anything like that?
No, she's a 12-year-old girl. If she has, you know, me and my wife, we'll talk about it, or we'll talk to her.
Okay. Does she seem stressed or in fear or anxiety about anything?
That's something I would have to talk to her more deeply about, you know, but if the Lord gave you something about it.
Well, that just came to me right away, and I went and got my book to look, you know, make sure that I was right on that. So, Father, I believe, the roots of and all are important to be resolved, Lord, and I just ask you to bring out whatever is behind this. In Jesus' name, whether it's just a pure attack of the enemy or if it's just a spiritual thing, you know, if there's fear, anxiety, stress, Lord, just bring this out that she really truly can be healed, Lord, and we believe by faith that she is healed, and help her to not be in any fear, anxiety, or stress, Lord, that she can take everything to you, Lord, and that her mom and dad are there for her to help her, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for healing her in Jesus' name.
Amen. I believe it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
I have a prayer request.
Okay, Debbie.
My sister Joyce, how about her daughter, needs prayer. Terry, she's 30-something. Her father has come down with cancer. I guess is dying. He's not a believer. It's been a very, very, they've been divorced for many, many years. It's been, he's been a real bad way with the Lord, and his whole life has been really bad. So, but it's been, I don't know what ways exactly, but Joy said it's really hard on Terry. She's been depressed over it and never really had a relationship with them. She's always wanted to get to know him. And now she hears that he's maybe dying of cancer. So, it's real hard on her. So I'd like to pray for her and for him. So Lord, I just lift up Terry to you, Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, that you would reveal to her and by your spirit to her heart, Lord God, of to forgive him, Lord, of being so alienated from her, Lord, and from Randy too, my nephew, Lord, that he also would find forgiveness, Lord, and forgive him, Jesus. We pray, God, that you would just remove all depression from her, any oppression, Lord. And God, that you would just cause her to want to bring this and lay it before you, Father, and find peace with you, Lord, and lay him at your feet, God, and to pray for him. And you put a belief in her, God, and a faith to believe for his healing and his salvation, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name that you would save him, God. I just pray, Father, that he would come to the truth, Lord, that he would truly repent, Lord, of his sin, Father, and acknowledge you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Send someone to.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Cross his path, Lord. Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's his name?
His name is Mark.
Mark.
Mark Way.
Yeah. Okay, Lord. We believe with Debbie and Denny that Mark is coming in. Not only that, he's gonna ask forgiveness from all of his family that he's hurt over the years.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, it's going to be a mighty miracle. And his kids are going to get some relief here from unforgiveness and stuff. Father, I just praise you for the mighty miracle that you're going to work in Mark in Jesus' name, Lord. You know, when we come to the end, Lord, sometimes we start looking to you. And we just praise you, Father, that may be what you're doing now for him. I know they've probably been praying for our salvation. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to grant that to him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Also, I'd like to pray for my sister, my oldest sister, Joan. She's in the hospital. She was in a nursing home rehab. But she had that. They thought she had a stroke type thing. And anyway, she seemed like she bounced back from that. But her both knees are very bad. She can't walk hardly, and they won't want to release her until her knees, where she can walk a certain distance. So they're working and trying to do something for that. But in the meantime, now she just developed a bad cough and some chest stuff, so she's in the hospital and they're doing tests on her. So Father, we lift Joan up to you right now, Lord, that you would touch her, Lord Jesus. Make yourself known to her, especially reveal yourself to her, God, and heal her, Lord. Just quick and healing to her. She knows we're all praying for her, God. We just answer our prayers on her behalf, God. Quicken that healing to her. And we just thank you, Father. We pray for her husband and her children that do not know you, Lord. And we just lift them up to you, God, that you would use this time to draw them, Lord God, to make them contemplate and think about eternal things, God. Reveal Jesus to each one of them, God. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Thank you,
God. Amen. Yes, Lord. We hook our faith up with Denny too, and we believe it. Knees is healed. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Father. Glory be to God. Amen.
Who was that?
It's me.
Oops, excuse me.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Leah.
Is that for me?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I got more of a testimony than a prayer. I might pray a little bit afterwards. But, you know, I've had that itching problem for almost 20 years, 25 years, something like that. I think it was due to a surgical procedure I had back in about 85 or so. So it's been quite a while. Anyway, the Lord has healed me. I have used some doctor prescribed anti-itching cream over the years. I tried not to use it, and then the itching would become astronomically bad, and I'd go back to the medication. Every night, I threw out the itching cream, and God has healed me from that itching. I'm giving him praise and honor and glory.
Amen.
For finally doing that for me. And I just wanted to share that with you guys.
And, amen.
I want to pray. Lord God, I just thank you for doing that, for healing me up, Lord God. And I have other issues that you can take care of course, but thank you for that one, and thank you for showing me to rebuke Satan and the devil in my flesh and cast that out and get rid of it, Lord God, and thank you for giving me the mercy that I so long have sought after, and I just praise your holy name. And I pray for anybody else on here that has any malady that's been plaguing them for some time, or even if it's a new malady, Lord God, I pray that you heal them up right now, Lord God, that their faith increases beyond what they've ever had before, and you would heal them up, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hope you guys could hear that.
I've just got to get unmuted. My picture froze up on me. But I'm unmuted now. Praise God. Okay, yeah, you're healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Let me mute you. I hear some feedback coming in. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, praise report, prayer request? I got a praise report. Praise the Lord. My wife went up and talked to my grandson, Blake, at the county jail. They're fixing to transport him to a rehab for 6 months. But here's the kicker. He's been in the Word of God. He's gotten a Bible study started in the jail, up county jail up there. And she said he's gained weight. He looks a whole lot better, and he talks a whole lot better than he did. And he said he's not worried anymore. He knew that he was going for 6 months. Before they told him that, the Lord told him that he was going to have to be incarcerated for another 6 months in this minimum security place, rehab. And I think it's going to be down in Texarkana, which is quite a ways from Little Rock. But that's okay. I'd rather have him down there than out on the streets right now. He needs to get down there and stay in the Word. And I believe God's going to he said that his brother came to him. You know, he's got a twin brother that he lost here back in June. And he said his brother came to him and told him, said, you keep on with this stuff, you're going to end up in hell. So he decided it's time, you know, it's time. He said it came to him about three times. I have never seen anybody defy death like that boy has. It's the only thing that's keeping him, that has kept him alive, is God. That's the only thing that's kept that boy alive, is God, in our prayers. You know, our prayers to God to keep that boy alive and let him fulfill what God has already planned for him to do. And he has, and I believe this is the last go-round. Lord, I just lift up Blake to you, and I thank you, Lord, for continuing to work. You told me if I'd get out of the way, you'd fix him, and I believe it. And I've gotten out of the way. And, you know, Lord, we always want to help our kids, but sometimes the best help is just to get out of the way and let you go on and work for them, Lord. Because a lot of time, most of the time, I'd say, our grown kids that we try to help, we hinder them, and we enable them not to come to you. And it looks like I'm learning this lesson. And I thank you, Father, for taking them idols out of my life and just putting them on your altar, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in Blake. Thank you, Father. Won't be long before he's coming out here and helping out. And Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, anybody else?
I'd like to pray for Blake.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Lord, I just thank you, Father, for true repentance in his heart, Lord. True belief in you, in your word, and what your word says, Father. True faith in your promises. And and for true faith in your sovereignty, Lord, that he believes, God, that all this is that's going on right now is you cleaning him up and making him right with you, Lord, and that he will stand strong in his faith in you, Lord. We just claim all that, Lord. We thank you for the work you're doing, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? He's gaining weight on that bologna they serve him out in jail. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'd like to ask for prayer for my sister. She just got word, or she was communicating on Facebook. I don't do Facebook or anything like that, but my wife was reading some of her messages and whatnot, and she's currently going through a divorce. She's probably, I think she's close to 60. I'm not quite sure exactly how old, what her age is, but she's close to 60, 61. But anyway, she's currently going through a divorce, but that's not the part I wanted to pray about, was that she's obviously going through a very emotional time, but it's she's some of her communication is very erratic, and it's almost like demonic. You can just see there's a lot of activity happening behind the scenes there, and she's very imbalanced would be one way of putting it. In some of her statements and comments, she thinks that some of her comments is she thinks that I of course am deceived, and I think the way she put it is that I was hypnotized by being in the church, or a church that we were affiliated with at one point or whatever. So, and obviously she's not a Christian and does not even profess to be. So, but anyway, I just wanted to, put her up for prayer because, I know that, this is a very trying time in her life. And she's in a place of being alone and weak and whatever. And so I think God's hand can intervene there. And I'm just praying that he would do so and open up her eyes and turn her heart towards Jesus. And so I just wanted to ask for prayer there, and I'll just start. But her name is Shelley, and Lord, I just ask you, Father, to intervene in this situation, and that you would break down the opposition that she has in her mind, and just I bind those particular demons that are manipulating and motivating certain thoughts against you. And I bind them in the name of Jesus. I command you not to speak to her anymore unless you are allowed for a particular reason by a Christian or by the Lord Jesus. I command you to release her mind. And Father, I thank you. I just ask you to open up Shelley's eyes and her ears, and give her spiritual eyes and ears to see and to seek you, a heart of desire to know you. Lord, just show her the end of herself and put those necessary thoughts in her mind that will lead her to considering you, considering her life, considering you and eternity and what she has to look forward to, and is this all there is in this life, that there's got to be more? And Lord, I just, there's a multitude of thoughts and that you can place in her heart and in her mind just to lead her towards you. But I thank you, Lord, that this path in her life that has led her to this place, it's not foreign to you, and it's not exactly like you haven't seen it before. You know the situation a lot more than I even perceive of what's going on. So, Lord, I just thank you for your grace. I pray that you would bless her eyes, her ears, open up her heart to receive the gospel, bring somebody that can speak truth to her. And Lord, if you want me to speak certain things, Lord, just open up a way where I can talk with her and just to start to sort out these things, and give me wisdom how to pray. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for your truth. Thank you for the fact that even one truth can dissolve a mountain of doubt and fear and lies that the devil uses to deceive us. So I thank you for that, Lord. I just ask you to open up her eyes and give her grace to repent, just a heart of repentance. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Pat. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to take her to the place where she will cry out to you, Lord.
Yes.
And we're not going to interfere in any way, because, you know, Lord, when we pray for salvation for our loved ones, brothers and sisters, and daughters and sons and grandkids and all that, Lord, that when we pray for their salvation, we just need to back up and let you do the work. And it might look like they're going through hell, Lord, but we know that you're working in their life, because sometimes we get hard-headed. And Lord, when we get hard-headed, you have to take us to that place to where we will cry out to you. And Father, I thank you for doing this for his sister Shelley, to bring her into the kingdom. Lord, it's a whole lot better to spend eternity with our loved ones than it is this short little bubble of time that we have here on this earth. And Father, I thank you for doing whatever it takes to bring Shelley in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, that's a done deal.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Wade.
Yes, my oldest brother has two sons, and the youngest has heart trouble. His name is Blake. I was wanting to pray for him for his heart trouble, and that he could secure a good job, make sure he keeps his house. I would like him to come to the Lord too. He was Catholic, now he's turned to atheist, but I'm praying he'll come around.
Yeah, you want to go ahead and pray or what?
Could you pray?
Yeah, no, this is your nephew?
My nephew, my brother's youngest son.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we lift up Wade's nephew to you, Blake. And Father, just like we prayed for Shelley, we pray for Blake. And just like I prayed for my Blake. Father, I just thank you for taking Blake to that point to where he will cry out to you. And Lord, he's never known the truth. He's been in a false church. He's been in a false prophet church, a false Jesus, the wrong kind of Jesus church. And he's into atheism. I can't see much difference in that and Catholicism. But Father, I just praise you that you're going to take him now to where the truth really is. I ask, Lord, that you erase his mind from all that garbage he's had in it in the past, and that you show him a mighty miracle, that he would come in and he'd come in with feet first, Lord, and that he would be a catalyst for his whole family getting out of that apostate religion and into the true religion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for using Blake in that area in Jesus' name. And Lord, when you do that, I ask that you heal him completely, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Lord, and that you'd make a mighty man of God out of him, And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're going to do in Blake. We believe it. We're going to stand on it. Don't make any difference what we see going on in Blake's life. We're believing that you're working in it, Lord. It's taken 26 years for my Blake to come around, and I believe this is the last go-round. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. And it's always, I've always spoke it, you know. I've interfered with you, Lord, but I've already repented of that. And I've put him on the altar, and that's what we need to do to our loved ones, is put them on the altar and let you go ahead on and do the work. And, Lord, I thank you for that, for Blake, Wade's nephew. I thank you, Lord, they're going to see a mighty change here pretty quick. Matter of fact, I decree that he's going to see a mighty change in him this year. In Jesus' name, praise you, Father, for doing that for Wade and his brother. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Michael, you're muted.
Oh, Missy, I was saying such good words. Golly. What I was saying was that, was I muted when I was praying? Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, what I was saying was God's going to bring a lot of our family in, I believe, this year. I believe those people that we have been praying for are going to be coming in this year. I'm just declaring it. How's that? Thank you, Lord. Because, you know, we speak the word. We confess the word. When we confess it, we're going to do it. We're going to see some results. And when you know what happens when you believe it? You step back and let God do the work. That's what you do. All right. I believe it, y'all. Anybody else? Is that Joe? You made it back, buddy? Yeah, I don't guess he's on yet. He's trying to be. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request or praise report?
Oops. Michael, yeah. You must be either sitting lower tonight. We see sort of the top half of your face. If you lean back, we can't hardly see your. We don't even know that you're there or not.
That's by design.
Okay.
Yeah. Outreach.
Okay.
Is that better? Better. Okay. All right.
Michael, could you lean back and?
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
Although, when that light was there, it kind of gave you a halo.
I like that better. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Dave. How you doing, brother?
Sorry I'm late. Getting prepared. I got a got to go to a wedding this weekend, my son, so we're getting packed up for that.
Oh, okay.
I'll take some prayer from the Lord on this with you guys. It's going to be a Catholic wedding, so this will be interesting.
Oh, he's marrying a Catholic girl?
Yes, she is. She's a really great, sweet girl, but, you know, she's traditional Catholic, but it's one of these small town Catholic areas, you know. So it's a farmland Catholic community, all German. It's interesting. We'll see how it looks. It'll be different.
Are you performing it, Dave?
No, I'm going to be a spectator.
Amen. Amen.
I'm hoping that, you know, that there's going to be if there's an opportunity to talk about Jesus, we'll talk, but I don't want to make it, you know, anything where people stumble.
Yeah. I agree. there'll be time for that in the future. Amen. But Lord, we just lift up his son to you and his daughter, the future daughter-in-law. Lord, we bless this marriage, and we thank you, Father, that they're going to have a blessed marriage, and she's going to come into the truth, and he's going to come into the full truth. And Father, we thank you for that. We pray it, we believe it, and we confess it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. I believe that myself.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? I keep seeing some new numbers shine up here, and I'm trying to figure out who it is. Oh, okay. All right, anybody else? Okay. We're going to talk about holiness tonight. Anybody got a word that they want to start with?
Michael, I got a question.
Ask me. Yeah, go ahead.
I know we say it a lot about, putting our kids and putting certain things on the altar. What does that mean to you, putting something on the altar? Or am I putting you on the spot?
No, not at all. I don't mind.
Or what's your experience with it?
Okay, I shared a little bit last week about that, but I'll do it again. you know how when our kids or grandkids or both, they're always wanting help to do this, got to have help doing this, got to have help doing that, you know. But yet they still go on that same crooked route, not doing what needs to be done. And I kept asking the Lord, you know, about my grandson Blake and Austin, and I kept helping them, Pat. I'd kept helping them. I'd put them on the altar. I said, Lord, I'm going to give them to you. Bless God, you got to do it. I can't do nothing with them, you know. And I'd put them on the altar, but I'd go back and get them back off the altar and try to help him, help the Lord alone. And every time that I did, the Lord would step back, and there go Blake or Austin. They'd back in there messing up. And so this last time, you know, sometimes I get a little bit thick-headed, but when I finally figured out that I've got to step back away from him or he's going to die, when I figured that out, you know, I stepped back and I said, okay, Lord, I don't want that boy to die. I want you to do whatever it is that you have to do. And I'm going to step back, and I ain't doing nothing but praying for him. In fact, my prayers have always been thanking the Lord for doing what he's doing in that boy's life. And when you do that, you're out of the picture now. God is in complete control of him, and now he can work with him. And therefore, I'm seeing a change in the boy. I'm seeing a major change in the boy. I'm backing up. I'm still not going to help him. I mean, I told God, I said, it's your boy now. I've given him to you. He's yours. And if he needs some, you'll have to provide it. And that's what you do when you put him on the altar. It's no longer you helping. You step back out of the picture and let the Lord do his job. Listen to me. 1 minute. Just 1 minute. One more minute. Our children or our brothers or our sisters or our moms or dads or whoever it is that we've been praying for, had you rather spend a little bit of time here in this little bubble of time that we have on earth, or had you rather spend eternity with them in heaven? Because if you interfere into what God's doing, you're interfering with God's work that he's doing in their life to bring them into the heavenly realm of eternity. And so that's what I'm, when I mentioned putting them on the altar, that's what I'm talking about. I am backing completely back out the way. Now, if they call me and ask me about what a scripture said and what does that mean, you know, I'm going to help them. And if they ask me for spiritual help, I'm going to give it to them. If I can, I'm going to. And if they need spiritual guidance, that's what we're here for. That's what our job is. It's not to physically help them. It's to spiritually help them. And the best thing that we can do for our children and our kin folks that we've been praying for is to pray for them and believe God for them. You do that, we're going to be in heaven having picnics. From now till, you know, we're going to be doing that. So best thing to do is put them on the altar and leave them there. Like you've probably heard preachers say, well, put them on the cross and leave them on the cross. Don't drag them back off the cross. Let them stay there. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, when I was trying to correlate what you were saying there with the example of Abraham, and because when Abraham he finally made it through the Ishmael debacle, and now he had received the promise in the son, in his son. He knew that this son was God's answer to his promise in his prayer. He knew that that son was God's answer for his life. The promise of offspring and raising up a nation after him was going to come through Isaac. And so I was trying to correlate that with what you were saying, because when God told him to take Isaac up and sacrifice him, it's sometimes you read these stories and in the Bible, and you think, you know, you read them so many times, it comes, you know, it's just like, you know, nonchalant, you know, okay, you take him up to the mountain, and because we know the ending, we know the end, what happened. But if you can possibly put yourself in that position, I mean, what would, you know, what would I have done if God finally answered my prayer and then said, take it and destroy it, you know, give it back to me in this way? And so, and when he took Isaac to that altar, he wasn't only putting his son to death, but he was putting God's promised word to him to death. So I'm not quite sure. Any way you look at it, both conditions were he was putting that promise, that dream, that fulfillment, that what meant God to him, he was putting it, willingly putting it to death and giving it back to God. And I heard it preached one time that when you put something on the altar of any place in your life or any person in your life, or that you put them there and, like you say, give them to God. And if God gives them back, he will give them back in his way, and it will be a privilege. It won't be a right that you had. It will be a privilege back to you and you can enjoy that until he decides different. But and I guess it was also that was preached in that when you know that you are free and that you have given it over to God, when it doesn't matter in one sense or the other if you get it back or if you don't get it back, either way, it's still in God's hands. So it was, I just thought it was good. That's why I wanted to find out your perspective on it as well. So,
yeah, well, just think of it this way. I put Blake on the altar and I'm going, you know, he's there. He's dead to me. Okay. He's dead to me because God's got him there. I'm going to make the sacrifice of doing that. So that's, and when you do that, God says, I got him now. I got him. He's mine now. He's mine now. Now God can do the work and fulfill the promise that he's given you, that he's going to save him, you know.
Amen.
All right. Go ahead, Missy.
Okay. I have something that the Lord showed me today, and I was on my walk and I was really thinking about everything that I read and Lord help me to share this. I was reading and what I'm going to share is similar to what Michael was saying. There's some similarities to what Michael was saying about putting our family on the altar and stuff. And part of that is, you know, when we put our family on the altar, when we put someone on the altar and give them to the Lord, we're putting ourselves on the altar too, because we're giving up on our works, our fleshly works, you know. And okay, I was reading in Andrew Murray's, I started reading on, what's the book called? The Prayer Life. And the first chapter is The Sin of Prayerlessness. And then the second one was geez, where's that at? Help me, Lord. The fight against prayerlessness. But anyway, I had this bright idea to ask the Lord what he thinks of my prayer life, you know, something to that effect. And so I got two random words, and I was like, whoa. First one I got, I landed on the word lusty, L-U-S-T-Y, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. And I was thinking about that and meditating on what that means. And I asked him for another one, and he gave me in Proverbs 20, 10, an abomination. He got my attention with the verses between verses 8 to 13. But verse 10 in particular, it says, diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord. But and the Lord's really got my attention with Hebrews 12 too, about looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured this cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. But what's previous to that is, let us therefore also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, blah, 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 the author and perfecter of our faith. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. I had to write some notes here. There's all kinds of stuff going through my head, but what the Lord got my attention with, what he gave me in Proverbs verse and with that in Hebrews, the weight, lay aside every weight. The Lord showed me that's the flesh. That's the works of my flesh. And it also made me think of what the Lord said in Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And what the Lord showed me was that a lot of my prayer is a mixture of my flesh and mixed in with my will, mixed in with the Lord's will. In other words, I want something for myself out of this prayer. And what the Lord was showing me was if I focus on his kingdom and his will strictly, purposefully, that it won't be a burden, because our flesh is a burden. It's a weight that we carry around. It's a work of our flesh. And when we lay aside our flesh, deny ourselves, and not pray in the flesh, which is a burden, when we do that, you know, when I do that, he's showing me that when I don't get what I want because I want something for myself and not solely focused on the Lord's will, then that leads to sin. Because then I try and do what I want by my fleshly works. And, Pat was bringing up Abraham, you know, and that's what came to my mind. I have Abraham written down here, and I was sitting here like, you know, I'm like, yeah. And he tried, he sinned by doing what he did, trying to receive the promise of what God told him that he would do. God told him he would do it. He didn't have to do anything. And another thing the Lord was showing me was that sometimes in praying for people, especially my family in particular, you may be praying about their situation, their circumstances, and you hate to see them going through what I hate to see them going through what they're going through. And sometimes I want, them to be healed because I don't like to see them suffering. But the Lord showed me, that there's a reason for that, and not be so quick to be bothered by that, because he's using those things to bring them to repentance, to show them things. And, sometimes the best way we can pray is Lord, have mercy, don't allow me to take them out, save them, show them, help them to hear you, what you're trying to speak to them, show them if there's sin because of whatever it is they're going through. Because we know that's why the curse comes, is because of sin. And the Lord showed me, that I had this, it reminded me of what, the video that Michael shared about, Paris Reedhead talking about the Moravians. I'm not sure if he spoke about the Moravians, but he used the phrase, that the Lord said to him, about, to receive the reward of his sufferings, you know. It's like why do I want someone to be to be saved or to be healed? Is it because I don't want to see them suffer? I don't see them go to hell. Obviously the Lord doesn't either, but there's always that, there can be that mix in there of you know, sometimes when you're closely connected, you're closely connected with your family, I consider myself blessed to a degree that my parents and everybody is, you know, back there, but I still have my own household to deal with. And the Lord even showed me, you know, with Merle and with Alex, you know, I have a mixture of asking for things and praying for things concerning them because it has an effect on me, you know? And that's a selfish thing. That's something for myself. But the Lord reminded me, he gave me a little bit of an encouragement earlier. He popped into my mind that the Lord said, you know, all you are heavy laden and, you know, blah, 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 I'll give you rest for your souls. I had prayed a while back, and I don't believe I had prayed, you know, recently or anything about that Merle would get a job or a part-time job or whatever. Part of it was because I hated seeing him just not knowing what to do with himself and knew that it would be better for him, you know, so, you know, I just prayed about that and I kind of like forgot about it. It's kind of, you know, I didn't really think about it. Do I want it a lot or whatever? And then, you know, one day he says, well, I'm going to go volunteer at the food bank. Well, he finally went off and did that. He said he was going to do that. It's been almost 2 years, about a year and a half, maybe since he's retired. And then I had gone to see Barbara, I think it was, and I came home and he said he had gone and put out all these applications or whatever, and now he has a job as a dishwasher at Denny's. And I'm like, and the Lord reminded me of that, and he's like, see, you didn't, you know, you knew it was good for him, you know, it bothered me, it broke my heart, but I knew it was good for him, you know. Just to see him, you know, have something to do now, you know, whatever. But anyway, you know, it's just like the Lord reminded me of that. You know, that wasn't. And sometimes when we're praying according to our flesh, it's a burden and it's a struggle and it's a discouragement. I think sometimes for me to pray, and maybe I don't pray as much as I should because my thought processes and wanting something for myself is there rather than saying, you know, Lord, show me what you want me to pray for. Help me to pray according to your will, according to your kingdom. And I know that those prayers are going to be answered. And, you know, there's this part in that verse that put away every weight and sin that so easily entangles us and run with patience the race that is set before you. Well, that patience comes because you know the Lord's going to answer you. You got to, you know, if I pray in faith, I will have that patience to run that race and endure to the end. That patience, you know, you can interchange that with endurance, patience and endurance there. You know, I think interchangeable, but so yeah, it's just like, and another thing the Lord showed me about healing, Lord, help me to express this. Sometimes people, we've heard people say that, God receives glory in their sickness. No, God does not receive glory in people's sicknesses. He died. And the Lord showed me I died for you. I by your stripes, by my stripes, you are healed. And what Willie, the Lord brought to my mind, what Willie was sharing one time, not focusing on the pain, but on the word, what the word says. Lord, help me express this. I don't feel like I have the words to express what the Lord has shown me. That to focus purely on him, to look unto him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Look at him, not the pain, not what you see. Like if you have something, almost always, I don't see, I can't think of any particular sickness that doesn't involve pain. So that's our, first indicator that we need healing, is a pain. But it's like, that's yours. So like the Lord says, that is yours. That healing is yours. Don't pay no mind to that pain. I bore that for you. That's not yours. That's mine. I did it. And just receive it. Receive what I did for you. Don't focus on that pain. Focus, look at me, look at my word, what my word says, and believe it and receive it. It's yours.
You're doing good.
I don't have the words to express it, but because when we look at our flesh, it's the flesh again. The pain is from the flesh. If we have something that we can see as far as the illness, whatever it is, that's the flesh. The old man is dead. We're a new creation in Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we don't take account of the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This outer man is decaying. It's a light. It's a momentary light affliction. The things that we go through. I want the Lord to receive glory and honor and praise in everything. And the purpose of my prayer, I want the purpose of my prayers to be purely and solely for that. I don't want anything of myself, because he, for the joy set before him, what is that joy? The reward of his sufferings. Seeing that he died to take away our sin. And if the sin is gone, the curse is gone. And he wants to see the glory that he receives as Jesus in us. That's the glory. We give him all the glory and honor and praise. But he wants to see, and what gives glory to him is that others see Jesus in us, that they see him in us, that everything that we go through is not in vain. Hey, I don't know. Is there anything else I can say? But
let me ask you a question.
I want to say one more thing quick. I want that same joy that the Lord had. The joy of knowing that, look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, who for the joy set before him, who for the joy set before me. The joy of gaining more of the Lord and less of the flesh and more of the Lord. And the joy of, there was something that in abiding Christ, he said about looking back, looking up, and looking forward. Looking back at what he did, looking up, seeing him sitting on the throne. And the Lord showed me too, he's sitting there on the throne interceding and praying for me. And I want to intercede and pray for those he's praying for. And looking ahead is that great commission of going out and souls being saved, sinners coming to repentance and believing in him for all, only for his glory, honor, and praise. Anyway.
Wait a minute, I got a question. Can you give me a prayer that would, you would be praying for yourself and for the one in the flesh and one in the spirit type of prayer, so we could understand that a little bit better?
Okay, it's I guess what I would say is what the Lord showed me is my prayer is, prayers are not with a pure heart. I want something for myself as well as praying the Lord's will. In other words, you know, like I was explaining, you know, about Merle, you know, or even Alex, you know, any, you know, sometimes we have people that we live with and we pray, you know, for them with mixed motives, because it's a trial for us. It's a killing of our flesh, you know, and we don't like it. And we want to get through that trial as quickly as possible. And, you know, yeah, we want them to come to the Lord, or we want them to be healed, or we want them to be delivered from evil spirits. But also, you know, for the Lord receive the reward of his sufferings. But on the other hand, we don't want to suffer. So, you know, I mean, I'm talking about myself too. I don't want to suffer in dealing with the things that I'm dealing with, you know, but it's a crucifixion. It's a crucifixion to us. And that's the joy, despising the shame. You know, you may be persecuted for standing up for the Lord by the people that you live with, you know, or whatever, or other family members even that you don't live with, but that's a crucifixion of the old man, the flesh, the self. And if you just lay down and die, you got more Jesus, you know, and he shines out more out of you. And you can love others more, you know, when you can just lay down and just die. No greater love hath a man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend, his family, whoever, you know. That's what the Lord did. Love one another as I have loved you. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes, yeah. I mean, in prayer, yeah, it's like, you know, Lord, how much longer am I going to have to put up with this? How much longer am I getting, you know? And sometimes that I admit that's part of my prayer too, is Lord, how much longer, you know? And that's so wrong, you know, because that's murmuring and complaining. And the Lord showed me that the longer you murmur and complain, the longer your trial's going to be, just like the Israelites.
Yep.
The more you murmur and complain, or you ask why, you know, or it's not faith. He just wants faith from us to believe that he is doing everything. Just like you were saying, Michael, you just give it, give, you know, everything needs to go on the altar. Ourself just needs to go on the altar, and our works, our prayers, our desires, everything. Because, you know, the Lord showed me there's nothing more miserable, Missy. He reminds me, it's like, okay, I'm like, you know, kind of down and discouraged. And sometimes the Lord gets my attention and say, well, you know why you're so down and discouraged right now? Because you're thinking about yourself. There's nothing more miserable than thinking about yourself. Now, I don't want to think about myself.
Amen.
And I find that the greatest joy I have is when I'm not thinking about myself and I'm serving others. Doing things unto the Lord and not for my self-serving purposes. Knowing what the Lord has put in my heart to do, to serve others.
Amen. Well, that's what we've been called to do. Right. That's our job, to be servants to others. Missy, that was wonderful. God's been showing you some good stuff.
Yeah. Well, love you all. Praise you. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Has anybody got any comments on that? Oh, I see Malcolm. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the distinction between healing and persecution. Healing is guaranteed. It's part of the salvation package. And there's no question about that. Persecution is also guaranteed. And so sometimes you have to kind of think about what the difference is between the two. Because the curse. When there's curse going on in our families, and very difficult stuff going on, like Missy says, we want out of that trial, and yet persecution is part of the package that Jesus promises and talks so much about in John 16 and other places. Paul got so much. Paul just got, I guess he was killed several times, and he was resurrected, but he got really beat up pretty badly, it sounds like. And he never seemed to shirk from that. So, I thought about, you know, when sometimes the trials will happen, you know, and, you know, around our relatives. And it's like, Lord, am I under the curse? You know, I think there's a distinction between the curse and persecution, because we have to have persecution. So just because something is affecting us adversely, we can say we're not under the curse, but we still have to have the persecution. Maybe you can talk to that, Missy or Michael or whoever else.
Yeah, well, just like Missy was talking about, we sometimes want to pray to get the heat off of us, okay? And that's what she was talking about earlier. I want to pray that this person that's really irritating me, Lord, you got to fix them. You know, you just really need to fix this guy or this girl. and do something with them, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you help them out. You know, we try to make it sound a lot better than what I'm saying. You know, just help them, Lord. But you're doing it, you're praying it, because it's a hurting you too. It's hurting, they're hurting your flesh. And that's what God has brought them in, into your life for, is to kill that flesh. And so what you need to do, what we all need to do, is like Missy was talking about, pray in love for them. Intercede for them. And then back off and just turn the other cheek and just love on them. Just start loving them and see what happens, you know. God will fix it. That's kind of what I see, you know, with this flesh and the spiritual. That's just a good example. I mean, a glaring example. But there's all kinds of little old ways that we do that, trying to think that we're doing something, but we're doing it in the flesh because we don't want to see that persecution coming on us, like we was talking about, like Malcolm and Missy Buzz was talking about. We don't want to see that persecution. So we just kind of back off, you know, and instead of praying for them, we want to pray against them. Do something with that person, Lord. Lord be to God. I don't know how in the world anybody can be around these folks. Well, you're praying to get your flesh satisfied. We don't like confrontation most of the time. And so we pray against that. When God wants to bring it in your life to get rid of flesh, so you will learn to turn the other cheek. You will learn to bow down just like Jesus did. Just like Paul did. Paul, like Malcolm was talking about, he didn't shirk his duty. He went ahead and did what he had to do. Preaching the gospel, giving the word out, teaching. And he got all kinds of a headache for it. But he knew it was from God, so he didn't say much about it. And that's where we ought to be. I agree with Missy. That was wonderful, Missy. The way you explained it to me, it was awesome. Anybody got any questions about what she was talking about? Yeah, Pat.
I don't have what I was thinking about when Missy was talking about those kind of encapsulated what we've been talking about as far as placing, you know, your desires, or placing your promise, placing your desires on the altar. And Missy just did a wonderful example in explaining exactly, you know, what that entails and how it just kind of popped out at me at the time that we need to place our lives on that altar and place our lives and everything touching us at that time, and everything, our hopes and our desires and our prayers and our promises and everything wound up and wrapped up in this person. I need to put it right back up there on the altar in God's hands where it's supposed to be. And then, like Missy said, focus upon what the Lord wants. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, find out what he wants and pray for what he wants, and rest in the fact that all of these circumstances and situations that are touching my life and the struggles and all these things are in God's hands, and he isn't missing a lick one way or the other. What is there, he's either allowed or he's orchestrated in my life, and I can trust him for the outcome, just like you were saying, Michael, placing that thing on the altar and given it to God and taken my hands off, trusting him with it. So I really appreciate that. Was a very good testimony or message there, Missy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it had to be a testimony. Go ahead, Missy. It was good.
There was something else that the Lord showed me, which I thought was pretty cool. You know, in verse 10, it says, diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. But the Lord showed me with that. Remember I said about that the weight and sin, the weight is the flesh. And I saw what the Lord showed me was, you know, you see those scales that go up and down like this, you know, and they're balanced out. Well, okay, let's say Jesus is on the right side because, you know, that's the right side. Okay, he's on the right side of these balances, okay, these scales, okay? And you're on this other side. And you're balanced out. You're balanced out, Jesus and you, okay? But that's a mixture. The Lord showed me that's a mixture. Some of Jesus, and some of you. But if you lay yourself completely down, okay, you put all your flesh on that scale, what happens? Jesus is lifted up. You're lowly and meek. You're down here, and Jesus is lifted up. You know, none of the self left, only Jesus. You know, it goes, this is Jesus. He goes up, you know. You just completely lay yourself down, and Jesus is up here, and he's lifted up and glorified. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because normally with the, you know, with balances, you want them to be like this. You want them to be level, you know. That's, you know, like, for instance, like when you're getting weighed, you know, you want that bar to go across level. Like when you go to a doctor, you want that to be balanced out, you know. But no, you know, this, anyway, that's what the Lord showed me, which I thought was pretty cool. Amen.
It was. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you'd naturally think that the balance would be the best, but no, you want Jesus to be more. That's good. That's good. All right. Anybody else got a comment or would like to?
I thought of the scripture in Colossians 3:23-24. You mentioned a little bit of it. That whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, for it is the Lord Christ whom you serve, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for it is the Lord Christ. I think I said that wrong. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And so in everything we do, even in praying for people, like she was saying, our circumstances and people there who are maybe affecting us, we pray for them. But that's the work. And we want that work of prayer even to be unto the Lord, because instead of for our flesh, like she said, but to receive what he's already promised from that for us, we can pray for us to receive the reward of the inheritance that he's promised. So whatever we do, even in our prayers for others, to be sure it's not because we want to be the reward in our flesh to get this problem off of me, but do it under. We can pray unto the Lord, and anything we do, any work we do, so we receive the reward that he's promised us, not in our flesh to be noticed or anything like that, but because we're doing it for him. So anyway, that's kind of like the revelation I got from what she shared, if that means anything. I was also thinking of the other verse, another scripture I was thinking of, but now it's not coming to me. Anyway, Lord's promises to reward us, and so we want those rewards. We don't want the ones we want to heap upon ourselves. So,
one that came to my mind was Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Yeah, when you're seeking the Lord, you're not thinking about yourself, are you? You just, and that's kind of, I came across a saying of Murray's the other day. He said, scriptures were not written for our knowledge, but for our conduct. Scriptures were not written for our knowledge, but for our conduct. In other words, we're going to be a doer of the word instead of just a hearer. Basically, that's what he's saying. And that made so much sense to me. It struck me. I liked it. So I adopted it. All right. Anybody else want to comment on this subject we're on tonight? Which is part of holiness now. It's part of getting rid of the flesh. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I was just thinking about the book of Job, and I had a verse here about holiness, about this, and I think it has something to do with what we're talking about. Okay. It's in Psalm 145:17, and you know, Job must have thought this way. This was written after Job, so you know, a lot of stuff Job had to go through. And he must have been, like, really wondering a lot with why it's all this happened to me and everything, you know. It's, I mean, you can read that book and, you know, you can spend a few minutes reading it. But, you know, this is his entire lifetime here in on those pages. And some of that stuff, you know, can parallel in your own life too. But it says in 145:17 of Psalms, and I thought Job must have thought this way, and it's the Lord's way. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And you know, when you meditate a bit on that verse, you know, it brings fear, but it also brings comfort to know that the Lord is holy in all his works. And you know, especially, you know, if we're supposed to be his workmanship, he's working on us to do all that stuff that we need to do. And, you know, this manifestation that he wants to come out of us would have to be that work he's doing on us, holiness. And that's the way I thought of it. And, you know, everything. There's nothing that he doesn't think of that each individual might need here at any given time and at any given in any given thing that's happening at that time to you. You know? I just like to throw that in because, you know, it's an entire lifetime here, and in the end, finally, Job got everything. And we're all going to have an end. And I hope you understood what I meant there when I said he got everything back. Anyway, bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Doctor. Talk about what we're talking about here, laying ourselves on the altar and the people we're praying for on the altar. Or anything else that talks about holiness.
yeah, got a little something. I don't know if it, everybody probably knows it, but when we brought up this subject, I was thinking about the second half of the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord, you know, is telling people the difference between the law and the new covenant, you know, the rules that, of being a disciple of Christ, where he says, you know, you have heard, and then he follows up, but I say, and in the law, you have heard, the flesh was allowed to live, but when he says, I say, every time he says that, it's a flesh chopper and killer, and you know, you could read the whole thing, and there's, you know, probably 10 or 15 examples there where he clarifies the more restrictive of the law on the heart, but it puts to death the old man and brings sanctification.
Yep, that's a good one. Thank you, Lord. You know, First Peter talks about holiness a lot. He says in 1 Peter 1, wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to read about four verses here. As children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust. That's what we've been talking about. In the time of your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, who's that? That's Jesus. Be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's talk about that for a minute. Has anybody got any revelations on this? Any of those scriptures that I just quoted out of 1 Peter chapter 1? What I read was 13, 14, and 15, and 16. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. That's the Lord talking. Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Well, it's a lot along what I was reading earlier today for the meeting in Romans 6 and about the reconciliation. He's given us his life and given away our sin. So if we accept that gift, that then we will be holy as he is holy. And so that it's, you know, it's provided for us. We just have to accept it.
Amen. It's all by faith in it. But, yeah, Dave, go ahead.
You know, I was kind of all I did was just brought up sanctification through blessing by David, because I think he did a good job with some of this.
Yep, he did. I did the same thing.
And I'm just looking at this right now, just the very first chapter, and it kind of touches on a little bit about being holy, for I am holy. But the way he approaches it, and it is his first chapter, and he says, and I had looked up one of these words, and I'll read some of this. In the New Testament, sanctification is your Greek word for hagiomos, and it means separated from sin and consecrated unto God. I had to look up what consecrated is because I really wasn't too sure. You know, you get some of these words, these 25-cent words that you don't use all the time. And one of the last parts of the definition is to devote to a purpose with or as with a deep solemnity or a dedication. And it also says to devote irrevocably to the worship of God by a solemn assembly. So it sounds like, you know, you're separated to God, but it's also for worship, and you're set aside. You're definitely set aside, and you're separated from sin. So you're just for God's purpose, for whatever he desires. But he goes on to say, the sanctification has been given to us as a gift through Jesus Christ. Now we're looking at it as a gift. It is also something that we attain through faith in that gift. He says, in other words, the Lord will fulfill it in us if we go after it by faith. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Romans 5:1, through whom we have our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And I'm thinking, you know, we've got this sanctification by faith in it, and it's a gift, and it's all by grace. So that's the first premise we get to go on. It's not something we can attain of ourselves. We know that. This is something that's going to come from God. It's coming from Jesus Christ. So if we take it and grab hold of it by faith and walk with it in the first place and have this knowledge and build our knowledge on the scriptures and understand it's a gift. It's not something that we have to try to attain on our own, but we have to receive it as a gift in the first place. Then that's where the direction we have to continually strive to be in, enter into that rest, go just like everything else. It's going to, this sanctification, this blessing, this holiness is going to be the gift from God. It's something that we're going to receive by faith if we stay in that rest and believe that we have it and walk and believe that God's going to fulfill it in us. Otherwise, if we're trying to achieve it on our own, this holiness, and we're trying to be something that we're not, all we're going to find out is how much of a sinner and how far we're going to fall from this whole grace and salvation thing, because we're not going to achieve it. We can't achieve it. It's just something that's a gift. And if we don't receive it as a gift and walk in it by faith, we can never receive it in the first place.
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother. That's good, Dave. Thanks.
Actually, I got something from Romans chapter 1, okay. Verse 4, 5, and 6. And it starts off talking about Jesus, but I'm just going to read what I wrote here. Determined as the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. And I'll remind you of your baptism there. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now the fifth verse is actually saying something here about you. Through whom we received, that's past tense, grace and apostleship. Of course, he ordains the apostles. That doesn't mean everyone's an apostle. It's what you're shooting for. Unto obedience of faith among all the nations, for his name's sake, among whom ye are also Jesus Christ's called ones. And through whom we received grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith. So the holiness here is something that you also attain by faith and grace. Just as Dave was saying, you know, some of the words he was saying there, I was picking up in all these words here in Romans 1, 4, 5, and 6. And well, that's you know, the resurrection of the dead. When he died, you died, and that's why it's through whom we received grace and apostleship, and we would also receive what Christ has here, the spirit of holiness. Anyway, to me, holiness is a part of or collates with love, the cross, and faith. And holiness has to be manifested in us, too, by the Lord. A manifestation of holiness is what we want to come through us.
You did say something real quick there that I caught. That was, did you? I caught that. You said obedience to faith. So there's going to be that obedience too to this whole thing. I mean, we're going to have to be in the process and not steering left or the right from this thing.
Yeah, it's you got to have that agape. You got to surrender your agape because, you know, we've been agapeing things that we weren't supposed to agape. And I never really thought of surrendering my agape love to the Lord so that he can fill me up with what he wants. Because, love conquers all things, yes, but, everybody wants you to agape what they say, and it's, especially people like in the government, the people who want you to take in something that they're really sure that it's true and right, but it's, you end up finding out later, as you do when someone else explains it to you better, like, for instance, pre-tribulation rapture, you have an explanation now, and you go, well, it's not that. It's the post-trib, and now you have to be able to obey that, like knowing it has to be a behavioral thing for you, just like it says in First Peter there. That your holiness has to be part of your behavior. And because he who called you was holy, be therefore holy in all your behavior. And a behavior quality is largely agape, to come into agreement with him. That's why I collate holiness and the cross and love together. Of course, agape style love, it has to go in collation there. And it can make you think quite a bit about what the Lord wants and what does he want from us, We don't want to get too relaxed in thinking that in thinking things that he might not want right now. We want to see what he wants. We want to know what he's working on us right now, or he's working on our brethren right now, or he's working in the world right now, or he's working in the government right now, or just someone at work or something, or in our loved ones, and you try to see what he's doing, but all you got to do is just ask him and leave it all in his hands.
Amen. Yep, it's got to be left in his hands, and that's basically what we've been talking about. Obedience. But agape love is obedience. That's what we got to do. Anybody else? Hey, George, you got anything you want to add? Well, Joe texted me, Joe DeBrowsey. He says, hey, I can't seem to get the audio working on my phone here to listen in. Could you all agree for me in prayer for a good week coming up at work? Says it's hard to transition from being down there in Tennessee for any length of time and come back up here to Ohio with a good attitude. Oh, yes, you can. You can do that. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Joe to you, Father, and we thank you that this week is going to, you're going to place it in him, Lord, to die to himself. And Father, I thank you that this week's going to be a pivotal time for him to overcome the flesh. And Father, we praise you for it. And Lord, I ask that you just show it to him, that this is going to be that time that he makes that transition from self to spirit. And we praise you for the work you're doing in him, in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray?
Yeah, Lord, I thank you for Joe, our brother, for coming and always looking for prayer and strength and encouragement. And we're allows us to minister to him and also look upon ourselves and see the same things that we've had to experience and go through, and even maybe still are experiencing going through. So, Lord, we like to lift Joe up, and we appreciate you allowing us to share with him in his life, because we all share these things together. And we thank you, Lord, that you've made him the man that he is to come in the fullness of the image of Jesus Christ in this fellowship. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing that mighty work in Joe. In Jesus' time, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, anybody else got a little something before we close out tonight?
Yeah, it seemed like we're just starting to get warmed up on this one.
Yeah. Well, it's a very meaningful talk that we can have on this holiness and sanctification type thing. And I agree with Dave. I always go down to one or two books when we get to talking about holiness, and one of them is Sanctification Before Blessing, and also Perfection Through Christ. Both of those are good books for this type of discussion. We just have to remember that it's not about us, it's about Jesus. It's the Jesus in us that we're trying to grow up, so to speak. And so we have to allow our old man to die, that old carnal man to die. And you know, We think we know what we're doing when we, or I'll just talk about Michael. Sometimes I know how to do that. Good gracious, you know, but you don't. I haven't. You know, it takes little things like tonight to bring other things into my mind about what I've been doing wrong, to straighten it out and repent and get back on the road to praying like God wants us to do, like Messi was talking about. And praying the right way and asking the Lord, what you want me to pray about, Lord? I want to pray what you want me to pray. You know? That's why I pray in the Spirit a lot, because I can't mess up that one. Praise God. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray and close it out. Father, I thank you for another good night. I thank you for Missy for sharing her heart. And it looked like she was sharing her heart, and I appreciate that, Father. It helped me. I'm sure it helped everybody else too. And, Lord, I ask and I pray that next Tuesday night, Lord willing, you willing, Lord, that we have another discussion upon sanctification and holiness and praying and the things, Lord, that you want us to talk about. And Father, I ask that you place it in our hearts for everybody here to get them a word and meditate on it and come up with some delightful revelations from your word about holiness and sanctification. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us over this weekend. You know, Lord, walking this walk moment by moment, if we just keep that in our mind, I have to do that every day. You know, Lord, I want to do it moment by moment. And as those moments come up, I can think, well, okay, here's my chance to do what God wants me to do and not what I want to do. And Lord, I thank you for breaking it down into those little bitty chunks that we could grasp and walk with, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon everybody. I ask, Lord, that you give everybody here a good night's sleep tonight and every night since from this point. And I thank you, Lord, for your provisions upon us. It looks like we may be coming into a lot of trouble this year. And if that's the case, Lord, we're just going to rest in you. And we thank you for placing that in us to just know that we're in your hands, Lord. And we couldn't be in any better secure place than in your hands. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. Be with us. Guide us. Direct us. Set a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And quit cursing ourselves and the people around us, Lord. And I praise you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, y'all. God bless you. It's been a good night, I thought.
It was good listening.
What's that?